Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 102. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner B. Sparks on Twitter. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America on Twitter. And also, you can find us on Instagram.
Yeah, at Cap in America, at Lost in America Pod. But really, Twitter.
I'm losing. And me. You always forget me. I'm a Turner Sparks.
You don't need help. You've got big followers. You're a touring comedian.
Oh, go on.
But I'm losing people left and right. The robot. Twitter's been purging. They've been purging the Russians and the bots.
On the podcast today, we have Ari Shaffir, comedian Ari Shaffir from This Is Not Happening, from his Netflix specials. He was just in Scotland at the Edinburgh Comedy Festival. He's going to tell us all about comedy in Scotland. It's a month-long festival. You do comedy every single day for a month. You live in an apartment with a bunch of other slubs, and I don't know what you do. He's going to tell us how it works. It's a whole different world.
We received this from the Scottish perspective recently. Now we're going to get it from the American perspective.
From an American going over there performing for the Scots.
For the Scots. See how they took to him.
So we'll see what happens. That'll be fun. Before all that, Kaplan.
Yeah.
We have a celebration.
Play the music. Play the We Made Somebody a Winner something music.
All right, well, play the music.
Or drop the balloons. Do we have balloons?
Julia Salazar, we are one for one on picking alt-middle winners. Right. We endorsed her officially last week as the first alt-middle candidate of all time. What happened? She wins.
Huge upset victory. Nobody thought she was going to win because of her, you know, her questions with the truth.
Well, you mean because she's batshit crazy?
She's batshit crazy. Some might say we made it harder on our listeners by not even telling them she was running in Brooklyn.
We didn't know where she was running. We had read a newspaper article and she seemed funny. Because let's review what she's done. First, she's claiming to be Jewish, although she's never been. She just became a Jew.
I mean, you can't become Jewish. It's a religion. You don't have to. But she was claiming, like, from birth, like, her father's family.
She also claimed she's an immigrant. She was born in Miami, Florida, which, last time I checked, still part of the United States.
She's got a cool tattoo in her arm, which is not very Jewish, just so you know.
Oh, wow.
Just discovering that.
Jew with a tattoo. She also has a sex scandal with Keith Hernandez, the shortstop.
He's star of Seinfeld, Elaine's boyfriend.
He's also on the 86 Mets.
First baseman, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And she used to be super conservative. She used to be, like, 5 years ago, super conservative. Now she's a Democrat socialist, so that's why we embraced her. Very alt-middle.
And she's
somewhere in between is us.
She makes up facts about herself every single week. Somehow she won because she's a hardcore left. She's like a Bernie.
It's like this left-wing version of Tea Party, I think, is what we're grabbing onto here. It's like burn down everyone in power. Some white guy's been in power a while. He's probably a good liberal, but screw him.
I also saw that she has, just in the few days leading up to the election, she got dropped by every Democrat. No one's behind her except us.
Yeah, except well, and she also did the Trump no-sell. She no-sell to victory. She just kept. She never denied anything. She never apologized, and we believed in her. We don't
but
count.
She denied everything.
She didn't like. She denied all the accusations about her lying. She just ignored them. So she went at the people. And do we don't count Joe Jerks as an endorsement, do we?
Joe Garrick?
Joe Garrick, sorry.
No. We didn't endorse. We're one for one.
All right, we're not counting him because that was before Walt Mill. We were just endorsing him.
Exactly.
He,
one more thing to get to, Kaplan.
Yeah.
We have a listener from Ireland, Byron in Cork, who's
Byron
written into
in
us.
Cork? Is in Cork the name of the town?
Cork is the town in Ireland. Right. Cork, it's where the cork was invented.
Oh, look at that.
Before that, I don't know what we were doing.
What were we doing with our champagne and whatnot, wine?
So Byron and Cork informs us that, if you remember a while ago, we were picking, a couple episodes ago, we were developing the alt middle. You said we had to have a number. You said you have to have some numbers so that the psychos can say it in code, like Trump can say it in code and the people know.
Yeah, every conspiracy theory-minded person out there on the internet likes to have lucky numbers that we can speak in code to.
So I was thinking China. In China, 8's a lucky number. I threw out the idea, why don't we the number be 88? It's
right.
Like lucky
which
twice.
Worked for me because Syracuse's famous number is 44, so we're doubling that. So I was getting double. We're all.
So Byron and Cork informs us, you picked 88. You literally could not have picked a more racist number. Apparently, neo-Nazis use the number 88 as an abbreviation for the Nazi salute to Heil Hitler. Like, it looks like an HH, apparently, to them. So, let's say, mistake.
Mistake. Now, yeah.
We will walk that back.
Is this common known? Because, there was that whole thing with the AOK sign symbol, that was a white nationalist thing that's not common known. But this is, I think, more, this is, a real thing, right?
I guess it's no. I mean, it's known enough to be on Wikipedia.
It's on Wikipedia. That's not good.
But we didn't know it. We will say we didn't know. I won't apologize because we don't apologize
in
today's culture.
We're like Julia Salazar, who was in interviews, saying she was born in Colombia when they said she wasn't. She didn't.
You know how we're gonna play
going.
This? Here's how you play it. I never said that.
Yeah.
We never said that.
We never said
Check
that.
Check the tape.
Byron.
We never said it.
Yeah, maybe in Ireland you heard that because you didn't understand American English, but we didn't say that.
So let's go. But we can't go 44 because that means that's the most unlucky number in Chinese. We can't do
right.
that.
Right, and Syracuse's football team has not been good lately.
How about this? Next week, we'll come back with a real number, our new number. But we never said 88. That's lies you're making up in your own head. Now, Amazon.
Yes.
If you want to support the podcast like you all do.
I love it. You didn't even give me a chance to start throwing out numbers. Let's go.
Go on Amazon. You make that your bookmark. Get rid of Amazon.com. Get rid of the Amazon app. Make the bookmark Lost in America Pod. When you want to buy things, go to Lost in America Pod. Click through Amazon. Money comes to us. It's great. We're making it this month. We're doing great. It's a real bonanza over here.
Yeah. And when you leave.
That's thanks to all you listeners.
Thanks to listeners. And when you go on iTunes and leave us 5-star reviews.
Yes.
Mention the items on Amazon you bought. Maybe mention how much they cost if you want us to. Maybe we'll figure out a way to use that for the number we're going to pick.
Exactly.
We're going to find some codes and all the costs of the items our listeners are buying.
Exactly. Now,
tie it all together. Yes.
It's been a wild week. Should we get to Lost in America?
Let's play the music.
Play the music. All right, we're back. Kaplan, I'm lost in America this week.
I've heard you're very lost this week.
This is something that's been in my craw. What's the term? In my crawl? In my craw? It's been in my mind.
Is that the thing you don't know how to say in the craw?
No, that's not even it. I'm lost before I'm lost. Okay, so I come back to America. When I left, people had salt. You want something, you put salt on it, right?
If you want something to eat, you put salt on it.
Now, I come back, you want something, you don't put salt on it. You put sea salt on it. Now, this is blowing my mind. People pay extra for sea salt. It's like Mexican Coke. Don't even get me started on Mexican Coke. And it's not the old school Mexican Coke. This is Coca-Cola,
Coca-Cola
from Mexico. Because I go, ooh, it's made from real sugar. Hey, who gives a shit?
That's kosher Passover Coke to me, but all right.
Okay, so sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, ooh, do you want sea salt or regular?
Who are these people who say this? Are you waiters, you mean? Or like
every waiter, you ever go to a store, you salt and vinegar, potato chips? They're not salt and vinegar. It's sea salt and vinegar now, but it's $3 extra. Here's my question. I'm no biologist. I'm no archaeologist. I don't know who people know something
geologist?
About salt. I'm not that either. But I do know this. Isn't all salt sea salt? All salt comes from the sea. This is a scam.
Can it come if there was an area in the world where the water isn't there anymore? And it's maybe the salt's left over?
Yeah, but that's still originally it's from the sea.
Originally sea salt.
Where are they making salt that I don't know about these days? Is it a factory in Manhattan pumping out salt?
And it's really from the ocean, not even a sea. But it's a big lie.
What's the difference between a sea and the ocean?
The sea's smaller. I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know.
Caspian Sea?
The Dead Sea is very salty.
Very salty.
They probably have the best salt. They should advertise what body of water it's coming from. They're going to go that far.
Yeah, if you tell me which sea.
If it's a local sea. Yeah. If it's the East River Sea.
That's a bullshit
Newton
sea.
Creek Sea.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want my sea salt having a dead mafia members mixed up inside of it.
Yeah, but mafia members are fat guys. They eat a lot of salt. They have a salty diet, so it's going to be tastier probably, fleshier.
A little pork in there.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. I got to be careful.
Do you have an answer for me on this? What's this bullshit sea salt thing?
This is your mind is really, I don't know. I've only just seen salt.
You've been indoctrinated.
I've been indoctrinated.
Because you've been in America the whole time. So they've slowly convinced you that now you're like, I'm telling you, you're
do they say
screwed.
It with the snow? Have you noticed when it snows, the salt you put on ice? Is that sea salt? Is that salt?
The salt, yeah, that they go
is
through
that actual
the streets.
Salt?
It's a salt.
Or they
the
just called it salt. Like, is it
they
salt?
Call that, right? That's the salt we used to eat. They're throwing on the
and
highway.
And it melts things?
On the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. And now we got to eat this sea salt. I'm fine eating sea salt, but my point is all of it.
So you're saying, you gotta buy a bag of Lay's potato chips. It just says salt and vinegar. It doesn't say sea salt.
Then you buy that
fancy kettle chips, and they say sea salt.
They say sea salt, so it's more expensive.
You can tell the difference?
There is no difference. It's all, every salt is from the sea. Kaplan, this is like saying, here's ham. Ooh, but for a dollar extra, we have ham from pig. Yeah, where else does ham come from? Do they just think people are that dumb in America now that we don't know? We think some salt came from outer space, and that's... Or that would be even more expensive.
You know what you need to do? Go to a bagel place. They always say, after years and years of eating bagels, I finally discovered salt and rye bagel. They never say sea salt. A bagel place, just salt. So that's for you. That's like
but
a tribute.
You're avoiding the question.
Because I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't know. I don't know what. I don't.
So is it now the trend is you just say where it's from? It's obviously from, and then you can charge more?
It's like the way they used to just say this is olive oil, and now they say it's extra virgin olive oil, and now they say it's cold pressed.
I don't care who banged my olive oil. Just give me the goddamn olive oil.
First extraction.
It's cold pressed.
Or it's free range eggs, or a free cage free. You know, these are just things, antibiotic-free. These are just things we've added on to make things more appealing. It's
extra
called marketing,
words,
man.
And you can charge more.
Yeah, we have marketing here. In communist China, they don't need a market. There's just salt. This is Mao salt.
Take it or leave it.
Take it
if you
or
don't
leave
like it, get in the gulag.
Exactly how it should be, right? Choices. That's America. We got choices. They should have you non-sea salt a little bit cheaper. They should, advertise that specially. You know,
exactly. Sell that at Costco.
Let's start selling it on the street.
All right, there we go. Off brand, off market. Well, if anyone, we've got any listeners who are in the salt industry, in the salt game, write into us. Tell us, whatever. Tell us what you think.
We've got a lot of listeners in the salt game. I've looked at the numbers.
Speaking of listeners, Capital, we got fan mail.
Yeah. Should we play the hate mail music?
Let's play the hate mail music.
Don't hate.
Love the music, Kaplan.
Yeah, it's the best.
You got the reviews in front of you. Let's just, because these people are really happy with us this week. We're trying to read hate mail, but there ain't no hate mail.
We don't have any hate mail. We're, like the great leaders, Saddam Hussein, Putin. We have nobody just.
100% approval.
100% approval rating. What can I say?
What do they
say? So we got someone named Andrew Miller writes a review, says, listen to this. Do it now. !5-star review.
Listen to this. Do it now. Well, thank you, Andrew Miller.
Thank you, Andrew Miller. And then we have Owen, and then his last name is Ayer. I don't know how to pronounce that, but he says, great job, an excellent show.
Woo.
To many more.
To many more!
!! Reviewing the 100th episode there.
How many !!
He only gave us one. That's... So, Owen, come on.
All right, we'll 100, take...
We want 100 exclamation points.
I'm not I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
We're like one of those dictators who, if you don't clap, yes. like Kim, yes. we shoot you.
We measure the loudness of your clapping.
Yeah, I'm not exactly.
We shoot you with an anti-aircraft missile. And anymore? Is that it?
That's it. That's all. I closed the computer, so we're going to have to do...
I thought we had one from Roseanne Lake, but we'll get to that
oh,
next
Roseanne
week.
Lake. Yes, she says, bravo, you two.
Hey!
Keep it up.
The author, Roseanne Lake.
The great author. Reader in The Economist.
Writer of The Economist.
I meant reader. Like,
she reads
should,
it, too.
You
I'm
should
sure.
read her. I meant read her. I'm instructing people.
And get
read
her book.
It, go read her. Go to her house right now. She needs someone to read it to her.
And she's get her book, Leftover in China. Cap, we got Ari Shaffir coming through. He's pacing the halls.
Oh, it's hey, Randy, bring him in. Come on. What are we waiting for?
Oh, wait. This is an app. You can get the app
is
store.
An app. They're still an app, folks.
They're still
some say, I don't know what's going on, but.
You can get up to
no,
five.
No one's talking to us today. I don't even know what's going on here. We're getting the cold shoulder here.
We are getting the cold shoulder.
We still got to read the plugs, right?
I think they're doing well. I don't know what they think about us. Yeah. But you get it's up to 5-minute audio recordings. Get it in the iTunes store.
The Google. I heard the Droid version's better.
Droid's better.
If you
it's
have
like
a Droid,
saying
get in.
The Droid version is better. The new thing. It's like the new saying. The book was better than the movie.
It's cooler to have a better Droid version in exactly. the app game. So, but yeah, you could record ENSE, and you can just hit us up where Lost in America.
That's
or,
it.
Or Turner Sparks, right?
All right, Ari Shaffir, come on in. All right, we're back with our guest, Ari Shaffir. All right, welcome.
Sorry I'm late.
No worries. How was the bike? You biked over?
Yeah, city bike. It's great.
Our pod bike. Is great for the environment. We encourage all of our guests to come here by bike.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there's no one cars. Like half a block from me, and there's one like a block from here.
You actually got here pretty quick.
Yeah, it's great. It's faster than cabs, faster than subway, way faster than walking.
I can't get one of the... Here's the thing, is that I got...
Why are you screaming?
Am I?
I don't know. It seems
he's
like
he's got
it.
A lot of energy.
Oh, okay. I'm fired up.
He's okay.
Yeah.
He's fired about biking.
We might have a different energy than we had last time you did the podcast.
He's got a lot more
now that you're
caffeine.
Back in America.
We found the louder you get, the more people get mad at you and then they listen.
Yeah. That works.
Should we read this? We were just talking about the list of shows to go see in New York City this week.
Uh-huh.
This will be fun.
This is good for the audience. Guide for comedy and stuff that happened a week ago.
Okay, so of the shows to watch, what I would probably say is just a regular Comedy Cellar lineup. Just that
this is
a
in
good
New
show.
York on the New York Times, what they're telling you to go see.
There's probably Colin Quinn might be doing something this week. And then I don't know what else there is.
New York Comedy Club's good.
New York Comedy Club, yeah.
And then yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure there's shows around town. There's probably a visiting in-town headliner at Caroline's or Gotham.
Norm MacDonald's at Caroline's. Well, by the time this
creaking,
comes out, it will have already happened.
Is the Creaking Cave of any kids shows this week?
No.
No?
I bombed on one of those a couple weeks ago.
Kid shows?
Kaplan's kid heckled me.
Really?
He
Kaplan
did.
Brought his kids, and his kid was like, you're not funny.
But can I tell you something? My son was heckling the rabbi at Rosh Hashanah the other day. So you're in good company.
God, teach
he was like, this is boring. I don't like the shofar. It's too loud.
So you're raising a heckler. So they're telling us to go see Woke AF.
That's what I told you. I was like, what are they all woke things? And you're like, well, the first one is called Woke AF. Woke as fuck.
That's actually the name of the show.
At Upright
is it ironic or no?
No, I don't
absolutely
know.
Not. No,
I mean sort of, but it's not like they're like we're not woke at all. They're not like that.
They're woke as fuck. It's advertising.
The Brooklyn Comedy Festival, which I didn't even know was going on, but I guess I'm out of the loop.
Yeah, what else?
Couples Therapy. Do you know that show?
No.
They're like show, and all these shows are co-hosted. Have you
well, is it
that?
Like a guy and a girl have to do couples therapy? Are they like boyfriend girlfriend or something? Or
possibly
comedians together.
Won't say when they break up, so because it's not for the benefit of the show.
Yes,
they'll roast battle each other when they break up.
Cisgender male,
different energies say. Is one. I don't know what these are.
They like low level things. Whoever's writing this is a young person who likes to go out, or has advisor of someone who's young and likes to go out. Like they like young shit. They like the different and not like, you know.
Because they can't just
widely appreciated.
Every article can't be go to the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right, it'd be too. It's whenever they do the NCAA picks of like who's this, you know, they never go like Duke probably.
Yeah.
Probably Duke. It's always like maybe Davidson this year.
Yeah.
Like I'm feeling Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's just too boring to go with the Patriots again. So it's like, but that's clearly the right call.
Yeah, exactly.
The 13 seed is very woke.
Remember Obama used to just go chalk whenever he would do it?
Chalk. Yeah.
Like he would just go with
the
like
favorites.
He picked the one seed. The
oh yeah,
the
yeah,
two
yeah,
seed,
yeah, yeah.
And then everyone got mad at him for it.
He's like, yeah, I'll keep beating you.
Yeah,
I'm in the top 10 percentile every year.
I'm not picking for upsets. I'm just picking who won. So you were just at the you were in Scotland.
Scotland. Oh, I had a nice long trip this time. Four countries: Austria, Italy, Canada, Scotland, Croatia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Canada is really on the geography's not great.
It was Montreal. I did not want to come back. I planned this trip to Austria because I was like, well, I got to be in. It was with my hiking buddies from Myanmar that I met, and they're like, let's do a fucking reunion. This one lady lives in Switzerland, Austria. So she's like, I know all these great hikes. It's beautiful. Like after we left, she's like, next summer we gotta do it. So I was like, I gotta be in Scotland anyway. The very end of July, beginning of August. Like, let's do it last week of July.
That's sweet.
And they're like, yeah. And then my agent was like, you gotta come back to Montreal. I'm like, I'm already going over there.
So you had to come back and then go back?
Yeah, I went from Munich to
Montreal
and then to Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that bad. It's like 6-hour flights. But
that's why you have to bike everywhere now. You just a lot of emissions.
Wait,
by flight.
Hiking buddies in Myanmar. What does that mean? You met them hiking?
Yeah, there was you don't want to tell me about Myanmar or about Bagan, but yeah. In Bagan, I met a few people at Estela Bello Hostel, and they were all like, some Israeli chicks have been talking about these hikes from Nangshui, somewhere to Inle Lake.
All in Myanmar.
Yeah.
And this is the difference between Israeli chicks and American Jewish girls. They're talking about hikes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Israeli Jewish girls are like, what's the fucking shower
hikes
situation?
In Myanmar.
Yeah, exactly. Israeli Jewish girls are not really on that. Those Japs are not part of it.
This is pre-genocide Myanmar, right?
I think it was going on, just not publicist. I think it was still going on.
They really pulled the wool over everyone's eyes because rarely does this happen in society. I have a t-shirt from the lady, the Myanmar president, who 3 years
ago. Aung San Suu Kyi.
Yeah, good call. So like 3 years ago, she was this sign of freedom, and now she's literally
a sign of repression.
A dictator. Killing off a race.
Yeah.
And I still have the shirt.
Wow, it's crazy.
You didn't rub her hair or anything that she came on your show.
Like, was there anyone who had a Hitler shirt, like, pre?
From the beer push.
The Volkswagen's great.
This guy's
awesome.
Fan of his art. They were big.
That's what we'll be saying about Tesla in, 9 years. We're like, we did not see the genocides coming. Multiple. Genocides on a new level. That guy's so smart.
Yeah, really.
That's how I feel with this lady.
Yeah, she fooled you all.
Although I think I could still wear it to the woke AF shirt, and they would be.
They wouldn't be updated.
They'd be like, "That's great."
She was actually in prison against that regime, and they're like, "Yeah, good." And it's like, also, she's doing it now. Like, oh, what?
But she made the hiking trails great, right?
But so. She is a woman.
She didn't make the.
She's a woman. Yeah, it seemed more for her. She's a woman.
She's a minority woman. So
another country that has a female president before us. That's always on all those lists. They always list.
Oh, yeah. I could see her actually getting shit on because they asked her about feminism. Like, are you a feminist? And her answer was, we don't have time for feminism right now. We're trying to free ourselves
from trying to exterminate a race.
Before that. But I could see her after, if it's all freed. Like, she literally said, we don't have time for feminism.
They kick her off of Fallon.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon. Producers like, people sobbing.
Yeah. She'll be on The View tomorrow, but she's out of it.
I saw somebody say something on, like, KTLA, like an LA regular news station. And they're like, why don't they just have him on Fallon and then have Fallon be able to ask, like, hey, what did you mean by this, man?
No, exactly.
Like a normal conversation.
Seems like a perfect opportunity to actually get more instead of like.
It would be good television. Just
like,
hey,
for sure.
Let's have a real 7-minute conversation about this topic.
Is that what you meant? Or is there more to it? It's like, yeah, of course. I meant like just a side piece of it.
Well, by the way, that's what they did on The View.
Yeah, they went into it a little more.
It was great.
Yeah.
I
watched that and I was like, oh, they're going to fucking be. And they're like, oh, you're actually being very even.
They were adults. Yeah. They were like humans. And they're like, okay, well, here's what we thought happened. What did you. We're talking about Norm MacDonald, by the way.
Yeah.
We were talking about that off air. But
we're not talking about the leader of Myanmar anymore.
Yeah, they were like, Norm, this
Norm MacDonald.
Is what we
Norm Sung Suu Kyi.
All right. So then back to. So you met them. And then.
So we had a 3-day hike. To Inle Lake, ended up in Inle Lake, slept one day in a monastery, another day in like a village. By the way, that village now has been almost 2 years, 1.5 years. For sure, they've been fucked over by these people that have been staying there. We got like first or second week with like, yeah, I guess we'll take some people for like, a few hundred chot. And now, if it goes all the time, they're probably like, ugh, these fucking white tourists come in here. You just fucking give them the experience and get them out of here.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But the first week, it was like, wow, yeah, you guys want to like meet our grandson and.
Oh, they're not doing that once a week. Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, it was just a great 3-day hike. Then we hung out in Inle Lake for a few days. And then, we all kind of separated. You know how it is when you're hosteling. And then, like, yeah, one lady from Austria is like, dude, there are great hikes here. We got to fucking meet up and do this again.
Wow.
So she scopes them out in Tyrol, southern Austria, northern Italy. We just, like, walked on the border for, like, 6 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it really was.
But you went to Scotland before that?
No, right after that. Or back to Canada and then to Scotland.
Oh,
for
okay,
a month.
Yeah.
Scotland was great.
Okay, so it's a month. Did you do the whole month? It's mm-hmm. a month at
4 weeks.
Edinburgh Festival.
Edinburgh Fringe Festival, yeah.
Okay, so I've never done it. Here's my question. I hear it's like very wildly different accounts from everyone. Uh-huh. Comedians either come back and they're like, that was the worst thing I ever did. You lose your entire like yearly salary is gone. Yep. You're barking people into your show at 10 a.m. Yep.
Like a spaghetti, Italian restaurant. Some people are doing like shows at
like
weird hour.
Eating
shop.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
Or people are like, it's amazing. Love it.
Also true. All these things are true.
Is it because you're you that you get to have like a great experience?
What do you mean by I'm me? Do you mean my draw or do you mean my openness to life experience?
I mean your draw, like that you're going in as a bigger, like
okay.
Netflix.
So went in, not really much of a draw.
Okay.
It's a separate world, the UK comedy scene. This is 3 years ago. I did it for 4 years ago. I did it 4 years ago, 3 years ago, missed 2 years ago, and I came this past year. So I did three of the last 4 years. But first year was like, I had a few people that were podcast fans and stuff come, but mostly people like, well, check out an American.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then you go back the next year and you start to build an audience there. That's how people do it. They go
cool.
every single year. So people who see 35 to 60 shows a month, they just go crazy. They start going, it's just like a music festival. They're like, what should I see? I'm like, oh, my friend Desiree told me about this band at 4:30 p.m. And you're like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, sure, we'll check that out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're like, I'm looking for any suggestion. So when like, so-and-so saw him last year, he was pretty good. I was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's put that on the list. And it's not just that day you have to see them. It's you have 25 days to go see them. So then you do.
Wow.
So you build an audience that way. I was talking to Sloss about it. We just had a Netflix special come out.
So they're like real comedy fans. Then.
They're real comedy fans, for sure. And they all have their own style they like. Some of them like the woke stuff. Some like dramatic, mothy kind of stuff. That's the award show. Likes that mothy kind of stuff. I kind of hate that type of comedy.
The moth, you mean like that storyteller thing?
Yeah, and it's like, I didn't just lose my watch. I lost my innocence.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, you don't really care about the watch or your innocence. You're trying to be as like deep as you can. It's not happening naturally. You're pushing it. It's not my favorite style. I actually started a storytelling show that like was like an anti-moth.
Okay.
Where it was like, no, these are just fun party stories. Tell them about that time you were in Portugal and you got that hooker and she robbed you and you had to fucking, you know, hitchhike a train back to the main city. It's like, oh, okay. You know, there's no like, and what I learned was.
Yes.
We don't do that.
What I learned was hookers.
So that's the other thing I've heard is that a lot of the app, because everyone does an hour. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Or no?
90% of the people. There are some people who come and do mixed bills, which is like 2 or 3 people.
Okay.
You just kind of split it and get your feet wet, you know? There's 6-person shows. There's like Amsterdam Comics. There's like, you know, you can do whatever show you want.
Oh, that's cool.
But the general thing is you have 50 minutes to an hour. You introduce yourself. There's no openers. You from the side of the stage, you go, please welcome Ari Shaffir. And then you go walk on stage and grab the other mic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Then the idea is like, oh, I want an opener. Like, you don't get, there's not.
It's no host.
There's no time for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is everyone doing, because I've seen people. Who I met like touring around Asia.
Yeah.
Not really in the US. I don't know what the crossover is like for Americans who go do it and come back.
There's a market that it opens up if you do well in Edinburgh. And that market almost always can't be used by American comics. The way you can here in New York, you can go, there might be a gig in Yonkers that you go to once a year. If you're in London, that's not worth it to go to that gig in Yonkers. So those like that size gigs.
You mean that far away, like to go 30 miles away?
From here, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Right, exactly.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So you can take a train from London to get to do a gig in Manchester. It'd be cool. But I'm not going from New York all the way to Manchester for $1,000, no flight included.
That's like how Asian shows are.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, people are like, I want to go tour Asia. I'm like, you want to make like $75 or $125?
Right, exactly. So it's like you might be cool to open up a market, but only really if you're already there.
Yes.
If you can go on the weekend and take a $50 EasyJet, what do they have out there? What's the cheap flight?
Ryanair.
Ryanair, Dragonair, one of those things.
Depends what you're looking for, yeah.
Yeah, and get to Seoul from Hong Kong. And then go do shows for a night and get a free hotel, then it's like, totally.
That
is opening up a market. That's why you do the Hong Kong Comedy Festival. For me to do it would open up a market I don't need.
Yes.
So it's that. So
that's how Edinburgh is.
Yeah, the London and the those comics over there get more out of it with the opening themselves up, this kind of stuff.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's not to say there aren't stuff for us to get out of it. The repetitions you get are tremendous. The camaraderie is great. But it's just like working your shit over and over again. And after you do it 12, 11, 13, 14 times in a row, you start to get bored and you start to take chances. And like, it just grows. Your material just grows.
Well, how do they, how's the crowd work?
Okay. So there's paid fringe and there's free fringe. And free fringe includes also pay what you want fringe. I'll get into it in a second. But like, paid fringe, there's tickets, you go buy them, and you just like we have here shows. Yeah. Free fringe is you just go into a show. As long as it's not full, you can go in. And those shows generally are not full. Weekends, sometimes they get full because everybody's out, you know. And it depends where you want to be in a better area, but let's just say the structure. So at the end of a free fringe show, the comedian will say, thank you very much. You know, that's it for me. Get applause. Like, okay, by the way. And they'll have what they call bucket speech, which is you go and like, I'll be outside. If you like that show, if you think it's worth something, come give me money. I get it. You know, everyone has their own bucket speech. My roommate out here was like, give me fucking money. I don't do this shit for free. Good fucking show. And they start having a swipe card readers. And people are like, oh, I don't have any cash. Like, it's all right. Give me your fucking credit card. I can put in £5 on you right now.
Yeah, Venmo.
Yeah. The cool thing about the audience for those is you're not really taking a chance other than time. Yeah. So you're out all day anyway drinking with your buddies. So, like, why not drink and watch this fucking, I don't know what the fuck this is. This guy's wearing a, you know, trans outfit.
By the way,
let's just go watch it.
That's the way the Lantern is in New York.
People just go in.
And it's I host there sometimes. And at the end, you have to be like, all right, if you want to get money, it's a bucket.
But there's
absolutely.
And I perfected the bucket speech.
What'd you do?
$5 suggested donation. I go, hey, you guys can give whatever you want. $5 is standard, but whatever.
Yeah, that's a good thought. You have to put those things in their head. So what I started doing, I got a speech. So I did the paid fringe the first year, just did my storytelling show. The next year I did free, and my promoter was like, how much are you getting? And I told him, like, you should be getting more. You got to like push it a little harder. You're embarrassed. I'm going like, if you want, I'll be out there. But I get it if you don't have. But he's like, fucking say something.
Yeah, you got to say something.
So I said, just so you know, give me what you want. I get there's poor people and richer people. I understand that. I've been poor. It sucks. But just so you guys know, in America, that's a $20 show, what you just saw.
There
so
you go.
Do what you want. So it puts
you don't
head,
even
like,
convert it to their
yeah
currency.
exactly which is like
20 quid
that's like which, a real asshole
yeah
move.
It's like 15 quid but I don't want to say that I just say 20 bucks so it puts the number 20 in their heads
yeah
oh so, and then you get the
I get the lot 20 pounds
that'll exchange
yeah which is
money.
Like 25 26 back then 28
I'll get up there with a calculator
that's what you have to do because mm-hmm. someone suggested it to me and they were like these audiences they don't know. Like,
yeah they don't know they really don't know
but if they have a good time they're willing to be like yeah well I like that.
Yeah.
I want to pay for
yeah.
that.
And what I noticed is the money you get in your bucket is directly proportionate to how good a show you put on.
Yeah,
when I had an off show, when you know you feel like that was a B minus, that was a B plus, that was a great show. The great shows get more money. The worst shows get almost completely every single time. It's completely indicative.
Money talks, they say.
Yeah, it's the talent. And I was worried about it, but the first year I saw this guy, not Carl Donnelly, Joel Dommett, who was like, London's version of Chris D'Elia.
Okay.
He's about the same size. He has a lot of hot chicks in his audience. There was a sex tape going around with him.
Yeah. Is he big energy guy?
He is. Fun, nice guy. But he's on that. He's got the same kind of draw, you know, UK level compared to America that D'Elia has. And I saw him outside of the show like, guys, I'll be out there. Give me money. And it's like, whoa. So it's not that big. It's just a standard.
You just do it.
Everyone sees all these shows. The audience kind of knows. Yeah, yeah, we're going to get the speech at the end of the show.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Seen someone's sex tape, you should donate some money.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least for that.
The pay what you want is just the same as free, but if you want to buy a ticket ahead of time, you can set a price to be like, I'll reserve a seat so it won't sell out around me.
I know people who do that
so I don't have to,
in New York.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you can buy a ticket or you can just come in if it's empty. And so like during the week, most shows pay what you want. You can just go in. There's no reason to get a ticket. Weekends, you might be like, I really kind of want to see this show. I only have 2 days to see it. I'm going to go ahead and buy a £5 ticket. And on the way out of those, you go, I paid. I bought a ticket.
You know who would do that? That's perfect for guys with wives. And you're like, hey, you want to go to this show? And like, well, are we going to get? Because if you don't get in, if you made the whole thing to go out that night, and then you don't get in because you were too cheap to buy like a $5 ticket,
uh-huh.
yeah, so
you're getting
like
shit
paying
on.
Paying for peace of mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're an audience member, I can't afford 10 shows in a week. And it's usually closer to 15 or 20. They do 4 shows a day. 5 shows a day, 6 shows a day. I can't afford £12 on a chance for each of those, I'll go broke.
Oh, I see.
I can't afford 50 pounds.
And if you live there.
Yeah.
I can imagine how many, there's how many people live in Edinburgh? Like, it must be.
The city more than doubles in size for that month.
Right, so people just come in for the whole month and just go under.
They rent out all the student housing. They're like, you get out. It's 11-month rentals. Yeah. And for this month, we charge five times as much.
Oh, yeah. How much does it cost to stay there? I've also heard that.
The flats are way more expensive, about five times more expensive than the rest of the year. But I get some roommates. I hear Shaw, Alex Keeley, Alex Smith. Sometimes he couldn't come this year. DeRosa 1 year. It's fun. I don't have roommates normally, so I don't mind it for a month.
Yeah, that's cool. What about, do they sell drinks? Because these are in coffee shops? Or are they?
They're everywhere. And also, coffee shops have beer there. So almost everywhere, you can get a beer outside and bring it in. It's 55 minutes is the standard, 50 to 55 minutes. So as you're drinking, and then sometimes you just go back to the bar. Some places like, no, I don't want the bar open while I'm on.
Yeah.
I want people's attention. Other people are like, fucking go for it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Depends what kind of venue. If it's a music venue, if it's just a bar, then it's like, that'll probably be open. Like, that's how they make them. That's why they want you as a performer in there, because you're going to fill it up so I can sell drinks.
Yeah.
So the free French venues, you don't really pay for it. You pay like $100 for it for the year, for the month.
That's how much you pay to rent your space?
Yeah. And they're just like, but I'll let you have it, you know, Bill Burr, because I know it'll be mobbed in here and I'll sell a shitload of drinks.
Yeah.
So one venue, the Counting House, 2 years ago, my second year, 3 years, whatever it was, 2016, they converted to a paid fringe. The paid fringe paid them. Like, here, we'll get £50,000, whatever it was. And now just only do paid fringe shows. And they did. And the owners of the place said, we made so much less money because it just wasn't packed.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So then they went right back to free fringe.
I mean, like, selling drinks during shows. I know they don't do it in Europe. It's like they take breaks.
They don't take breaks. The intermissions are, hey, there's another comic in 15 minutes. You want to go get a drink and a smoke? Come back in. This next guy's really funny.
Yeah.
You give it up. You give recommendations for other people.
If people are focused during the show. There's no,
yeah. And after
like, I've been to a soccer game. There's nobody's going to get food or drinks during the game.
Because it's action all the time. There's no pauses. There's no like, oh, the timeout. Let me quickly run, go get.
That's true.
Shit faced before the game. And then they just watch the whole game.
Yeah.
And never leave their seat.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Focus.
Yeah. Maybe halftime.
And are they thinking of it like theater? Or are they heckling? Like, what's...
No, there's no there's heckling. When there's drunks, there's heckling. But that's gone way down. Everybody talks about how little it's been lately, the last few years.
They just respect it more?
Yeah, the word's getting out. They respect it more. And it's just like, the way they do it, in America, if you get a free ticket to a show, you're way more likely to heckle and not care.
It's the worst.
It's the opposite there. Because they're like, I paid £12 or £8 or £10 for this show. This guy sucks. It fucking sucks. I hate this. You know? And I'm mad about it.
Oh.
If it's a free show, they're like, yeah, I'm just going to leave. I'm not enjoying this.
That's way more logical.
Yeah.
Here in Sacramento, if I get a free ticket to the Punchline Sacramento, which is, I'd had Shut this up. Once, where, yeah.
I was there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I remember somebody heckling, and I was like, trying to make a point. I was like, lady, who keeps going? Okay, let me just, for a point, how much do you pay for your seat? She goes, nothing. And I was like, I didn't realize I was leading her somewhere. I didn't realize I was going to be. And I just turned and looked at the manager in the back. I'm like, do you see the problem here? Do you see the problem with $0 and her being the issue?
Yeah, there's no respect for the show.
Yeah. In Edinburgh, though, at Sacramento, you're at the Punchline. There's nowhere else you can go at 9:15 p.m.
Yeah.
You're going home or you're going into town to go to a bar.
Yes.
There, it's like, oh, I'll go outside and within literally 35 paces, I'll be in four other different shows.
Yeah.
So I can just leave and still be doing stuff. Yeah, so they just go. They leave.
You know what the solution is? Sacramento needs a month-long festival.
Yeah.
The Sacramento Fringe. We'll start it up.
Sacramento needs a final solution.
Hey, come on. Easy.
The Myanmar. So
we got to win a championship first.
Yeah.
And then
do
whatever you want after that. I actually don't care.
Yeah, it'll be a long wait.
So it's cool, but I think a lot of Americans go with these expectations of being used to comedy clubs. So like, how come nobody picks me up in the airport? How come nobody?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like things like that. And like, how come nobody's coming to see me? I'm special where I am in America. Here I'm not. It's like, I know, man. It's a different market. So you're not special. There's 1,400 comedians there.
Wow.
None of them are special.
Yeah.
So quit acting like that.
So then, but you would travel, like you'd come to Asia with us and you'd been around a bunch.
I've slept on a fucking cot, a fucking yoga mat on a wood floor.
But I've also said
for multiple nights. That shit is not a problem for me.
But I also said, I think we said this last time, but when you came and did our China tour, you were the most like go with the flow, but also independent person. Literally the most we ever had.
That's
and
funny.
That was just because like at noon one day, and it was like I woke up, it was noon, I was working, I forgot it was noon. I was like, oh shit, I haven't called Ari yet. Like, because normally I would check in on the comedian at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, do you need anything? Are you okay? It was an off day, I think. And I called you at noon and you're like, oh yeah, I'm out. I'm walking around.
On the free phone you guys loaned me?
Yeah. And you're like, no, I'm downtown. I'm looking at temples. And I was like, what? That is had never happened. Everyone just sits in their hotel room, waits for us to come pick them up, and then we go do something.
The weird thing now that I'm thinking about it is because, like, you know how Louis, they're like, with the Louis issue, stuff, they're like, you know, he's this big headliner, has his power. And then the students of the history of it go, oh no, this is 2005. Louis wasn't that guy. He was just a...
He wasn't so powerful back
He was
then.
Just a headliner. He was actually...
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K.
Yes.
Yeah. He was actually literally, I was talking to Segura about this, on a lower level than I am now. He wasn't selling out some theaters. He wasn't selling out clubs. He was selling out weekends clubs. He was respected, but he had no power other than sometimes, not even always, sometimes being able to bring an opener with him.
Yeah. You rode a city bike over here.
Yeah.
Right?
But I was going to say, like, you take me and, like, with that same sort of idea of like, oh, it's Louis now, and you put him back on 2005. You're like, no, that was a different guy. You're judging him based on today's standards. So with me, someone listening might be like, yeah, but Ari's been to Myanmar. He's been to, of course he'd be independent.
Oh, I see.
But this wasn't that. This is my first trip into any Oriental area.
Oh, when you came to see us.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that wasn't a result of like, no, I've been to these places. It's totally cool. No. It was fresh and new for me. And I was like, let me go out and fucking go do some shit.
4 or 5 years ago or something like that.
Six, maybe?
Maybe, trying. Yeah.
2000.
I mean,
2014, years ago.
13, 14, yeah.
Wow, that's when I started traveling.
But yeah, I knew you were very independent because you're our first guest in 102 episodes. You made your own tea.
Yeah.
I didn't even know we had tea.
And a teapot.
You said you fixed the whole pot. You're
a real aristocrat over
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm good on water. I'm like, oh, no, I see some tea. I'm like, oh, I see a teapot. Yeah. Oh, okay. And a poutine cup.
Poutine mug goes with the Montreal thing.
You were talking last week about the craft service table.
Craft services. I didn't know Ikram, he improved it. He put tea in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just talking.
It's nice greenie.
Yeah, we take care of our guests.
Don't take advantage of it too much. So,
yeah, but I like walking around. I like fucking doing shit. And it's like, I'm not waiting for someone to help me.
Yeah, you just go. There's also the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
You just look up online, like, what to do.
Is there something to do? And then, like, your internet doesn't work when you're out. So look at it in the hotel, then go out. Try to find that thing. Even, I mean, the cool thing about there, where'd you live?
I haven't never been to China.
Oh, really?
that's how this podcast exists. No.
I'm going soon, next year.
It's so foreign and fresh that, like, I went to, I think in Suzhou. I walked into quote unquote town, you know, and it's just a bunch of fucking piping stores. You know, they have pipe joints and everything like that. And there's like 9 of them all together right next to each other. I'm like, this is a bad way to do business. When
like
you're
PVC pipes.
Yeah.
It's a pipe district.
When you're in the middle. It really is.
Yeah.
And then
Third
it's
Street.
Like, but even that, it was like, wow, so cool. I'm out. Where nowhere I'd want to be if I lived there.
Oh, it's all an adventure.
It's all an adventure.
Well, if you're in New York and you end up in a pipe store, you'd be like, what am I doing?
Let me get out of here.
What?
Oh, I remember like the first couple months I was there. I think I've talked about this before on the podcast, but anytime I would see a red light at night on, you know, like lanterns, there's like lanterns outside of these streets, and you walk down an alley and you see a red lantern, I'd always just assume there was something illegal going on.
Yeah.
And I got all excited. I'm like, it's an opium den. I didn't read the history books. No, like they got rid of that a long time ago.
Oh.
And
so what are the red lights?
Yeah,
just some Traffic guy's lights? House.
Just some guy doesn't have a regular light.
You'd walk by and some old guy would just be sitting there like fanning himself in his boxers, just watching TV or something.
Giving you a show.
I heard that if you see sneakers over a telephone wire, drug sales.
I heard that. But really? That's mostly from, I learned that on The Wire, I think.
Oh, so. Really? I used wire, to always Chinese think it was just like old shoes and they were like, or bullies and they were like, throwing them up there. Like, I don't want to throw them out. This is cooler.
Right, was it? Yeah. Someone got killed or something like that. Was it drugs?
Maybe.
This is sales. Just in China, though.
Doesn't no, this apply. Is
no, America.
Oh, this is America. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're jumping around.
No wonder I can't get my drugs anywhere.
We're jumping.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
What about the audiences?
Audiences are cool, but they're foreign, and they don't know who you are. When Hannibal or Kinane or people like that go, they're like, what is this? I don't have any fans, or I only have like 2 fans per show. And it's like, that's right, man. Lower your expectations. If you want to enjoy the world, lower your expectations.
So
you just go in and you see what's happening.
That's been my motto.
Yeah, I got one.
It's low, low, low. Low that bar.
And you called...
Like if you said like, hey, come over here, we have some tea. I'm like, I might stop for some tea. If you go, oh, we have some tea here. I'd be like, oh, okay. And then if, let's say in my head, I had the nice teas you guys have, the fucking lemon zingers and whatever else. That's
zingers.
What I had in my head. That's my expectations. But I get there and it's just a basic Lipton shit.
Yeah.
I could be like, oh, it's not what I had in mind. This or I could just be like, This tea is usually not tea. So this is fine. Like, you know what I mean? Your expectations fucking ruin your experience.
How does our podcast tea rank compared to others, Steve?
Better than most. I rarely get tea. And you had four different options for me.
Look at that. Yeah. Listen to that future podcast.
Too bad you're getting kicked out of here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's breaking news, by the way.
Still negotiating.
We're negotiating the terms of our contracts.
What do you mean they need it? Who's going to use this right now? No one's using this.
I don't. I think it's.
They found out I'm a Jew. I don't know. Let's go. Blue shirts on at our lawyer.
After 102 weeks.
Yeah, 102 weeks for free. That's great.
It's not a bad run.
No.
Yeah.
You're like, why not just go after 104? Give me the full 2 years.
Well, we actually started, I think, in episode 3 or so. So it's basically this is our 100th episode here, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. It is 100 even.
Okay, that's fair.
At least
that's
give fair. Us that.
Never keep a check.
Yeah.
And then you call your hour. I noticed when you go over there, you call it like an American hour. What does that mean?
Okay, well, so they have what I thought was a UK style hour, but the more I'm learning, the more I'm realizing it's not a UK style hour. It's a UK festival style hour. And that is the, you know, I didn't just lose my watch. I lost my innocence.
That's like you do jokes for a few minutes and then it's like 20 minutes of pontificating.
Yeah. And it's also usually trying to like tie in a theme or a narrative, you know, one long trip. I saw the first year I saw something really good by this guy, Steve Bugea. And it was all about this girl he liked in high school. Never worked out. He paints himself as a nerd, you know, that he couldn't get the girl. And then he was like, but I always kind of like had a love for her. And then she was getting married. And then he shits on the husband a little bit. You know, he's like, fireman. Whoa. It's like, what a
so
dick.
It's like jokes.
Yeah, it's jokes. But then it's all going for somewhere. And she goes, hey, by the way, you're coming from, you know, Leicester or whatever, or Norfolkshire. Would you mind picking up my dad and driving him in for the wedding? And he's like, yeah, sure. She gave him the address and went to pick him up. It was a prison. And her dad had been in prison for 18 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and had not been out since then. And so he was picking up this guy to go to his daughter's wedding, the girl he used to like, but it's not really like, fuck this guy. It's just like a little annoyed, but like whatever. And so he's scared of this guy and he's going, oh, stop. And the next exit stop is this truck stop I love. And he stops and it's just a fucking 7-Eleven and he's got to come to terms with that. And it's just this like interesting road trip story for 55 minutes. And then you get to the wedding. He talks about how the wedding went and how the father was there for his daughter. And it's just like, it's just a really good piece. But the whole way it was funny and entertaining and never like intentionally sad. I don't even mind sad if it's unavoidable, but not when it's intentionally sad. When it's like, and I've seen that so many times there where they're like, now it's about 42 minutes in is when I'm supposed to get serious. But it's like, that's why?
That's the format.
Yeah, they're doing it for. I saw Paul F. Tompkins talk about the state of alt comedy once.
Alt comedy.
Yeah. And you know what it's
different than post comedy.
It's way different. It's pre-post comedy.
Pre-post comedy.
Yeah.
Right. That's what it should be called now.
Yeah. Pre-post comedy. And he goes, and he's a big alt comic, and he goes, it's actually in a shitty state right now. And they were like, why? And he was like, it's a bunch of fakers. I'm paraphrasing, but it's like a bunch of fakers. He goes, when alt comedy started, it was because David Cross and Gene Garofalo and these people were like, our type of comedy is just not accepted at this comedy store, at the improv, where there's a brick background, where they want set up punchlines. We're doing shit that's like, I don't know, to a liberal arts educated audience who gets a fucking, you know, Camus reference and it comes from a point of view is like, of course, George Bush is a problem. So let me just jump off from there and go to
start there.
Yeah. And so it was just like started their own rooms. He started all comedy rooms. And it was like sort of like counterculture to what comedy was. It wasn't accepted very widely. And they were pushing boundaries. And then he said, and I agree with him, then he said you had these people who saw what the other people did and was like just trying to mimic that. He compared it to like when Napoleon Dynamite came out and Juno came out.
Yeah.
It was like kind of new wave, independent, fun movie, you know? And he goes, they all the same tenets. They had poppy soundtrack, you know, cool music.
Yes.
Bright colors, younger characters. And it was just, that was the standard. And those songs. Two movies were good. He goes, and then you had 50 movies that were like, oh, we're supposed to have poppy soundtrack. We're supposed to have bright colors. And they weren't doing it because they thought this would be interesting to do. They're doing it because they're following a format. And it's like, just faker. You can't always see through it, but if you see enough, you can see through it. So for someone who sees our first movie, and it's Bartlett versus the World, whatever it's called, you know, then it's like, oh, it's pretty good. But it's like, if you've seen enough of them, you're like, they're the fucking Seven Mary Three of the grunge movement.
I was going to say Creed
to Pearl Jam, or even like the originators, like Mudhoney and people like that. Then it's like, now you're three steps removed and people doing what they're supposed to do. So that's a lot of these Edinburgh Hour shows. It's like, you're trying to be serious here because that won an award 4 years ago.
Because being serious works. Crying at the 42-minute mark every single night.
Yeah. Now, Hannah Gadsby's serious was justified. She was very angry. She's not faking that. I wish her first 20 would have been funnier. It would have helped prove her point better of, like, I have to quit because I can't do this. But when you watch after, like, 20 sort of, like... kind of was easy point, lesbian joke.
Wait. I only watched. I got like first 10 or 12 in, and I was like, oh, I'm not really that interested in this.
That was the problem.
But I don't think her point. Well, I don't know what her point was, but I didn't see the rest of it.
Well, yeah.
Comment away.
But go ahead. Say what her point was.
I don't think it was. I'm not very funny, so I'm quitting.
No, it wasn't that. Then I misspoke. It was. Self-deprecating material puts down the person who's doing it.
That would have been great.
Yeah, just leave it there.
Well, did you just see my first 20? They were clearly not that good. Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
That's all comedy.
I think we all agree. Yeah. And I need to work at the post office.
But she's like, when you self-deprecate a marginalized group, lesbians or trans people or they're already pushed down, like you're pushing people further down.
But she's doing the self-deprecating.
And so she's like, I can't do that.
Right.
So my two problems with that are, I get it, and if she feels that way, she's right. And the rage she felt is totally real. There's not that shitty Edinburgh style where it's like, you're trying to be serious. She's not trying to be serious. She can't help it, which is the kind I like.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The problem is, one, there's more types of comedy than self-deprecating. So the whole premise is based on that's the only style of comedy, which is just not true. You watch Mulaney's act. He talks about the Civil War.
I feel like self-deprecating is one tool out of a number of tools to use in comedy.
So what I would have liked is for her to go, I can't do self-deprecating material anymore. I can still do plenty of other material, but it won't be self-deprecation anymore. But she set it up that way. The problem is, and I heard why on this, the first 20 minutes or so is her setting up that she's a legit stand-up comic. And then next part is she goes, and now this stand-up comic that you've come to enjoy for 20 minutes, I'm telling you, that person has to quit comedy. Supposed to be upset. The problem is she chose, from what I've heard, her leftover material. It wasn't her A-level stuff.
Oh.
It was her shit. She didn't realize how big, this is what people told me there. She didn't realize how big it was going to get. All I saw with someone without knowing her at all was like, these are kind of hacky, like shit I've kind of heard before, like the lesbian standard joke. But they were like, it was just leftover material. So when you say this person has to quit, you're like, yeah that's fine. Yeah. This person's just doing kind of jokes I've heard 50 times before.
Yeah.
But what if she did her A-level stuff, I'm assuming
she
has some.
Gone out on top, yeah.
Yeah. Probably. And does like Mike Vecchione or Ali Wong or fucking, you know, Lisa Traeger fucking boom, boom, boom. And then she goes, no, I have to quit. As an audience member, I'm like, wait, no.
Yeah, I love it.
You're really good.
Keep going.
Don't do that. Don't quit.
It's like when you see somebody crush at like the Cellar for 15 or 20 minutes, and then they're like, I'm out. And you're like,
wow. Oh, no.
I love
and
you.
And when they're like, I got to go. And you hear people from the audience go, no, no, stay. And you're like, that's not how it works. You can't reel me on. But yeah, if she'd given me, as an audience member, that, I'd be totally down with it. But what we were talking about is the serious part, and her serious part was justified.
I would imagine, because like the first I ever heard of her was that, and now we're talking about this, I don't know, but the first I ever heard of her was that special. Uh-huh. I think most Americans probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Most anyone. That's why she was going to quit, because comedy wasn't giving her anything.
But she was doing that massive theater. I would assume people in Australia knew who she was. Like I talked to Andy Curtin, and he was like, oh yeah, she was big in Australia.
I don't think she was that big. I think she got big off Edinburgh and then pushed it from there and then got a big name over that next year. I'm not sure about that one way or the other. I think it was that she got this name that people kind of respect. And then she probably did the Melbourne Festival too. And then she did Sydney. Now, what Brendan Burns told me, which I liked, is that when she's getting all rage, because part of me is like, but you're crying every night, then you're just, it is based in theater there.
Yeah.
That UK style comedy, that festival style comedy is still based in theater. So if you're getting upset or crying about your wife's miscarriage, in an interview, that strikes me as real. But on a show you're doing 26 nights in a row, it's like now you're acting.
Yeah,
you're doing this as theater.
Yeah,
which is part of stand up is acting, I guess. You know, to act surprised at this character coming into your story. You know,
yeah. And don't they say British comedy comes from the theater? That's why I hear a lot
of still got a foot in the theater. That's why I kind of feel bad for them. Like, they're still trying to please theater critics.
Well, and they get reviews.
They get reviews.
So that's something it rarely happens in the United States to have someone review a stand-up.
Almost never. What they do is
paper?
It'll be in the paper. Yeah. It'll be like this Ari Shaffir show, 4 stars.
Yeah, they review you here as your entirety of your being, but they don't review the hour you put on.
They'll go to one show, right?
Yeah.
No matter how good or bad you did on that show, that's
exactly, and
see.
That's fair. That's the same thing as like.
And how have you been?
You ever go to a comedy and like go twice in the theaters, and one crowd just laughs more than the other?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're at the one that laughs less, you're going to be affected by that. So, but that's the cool thing about stand-up. You get rejudged every single night.
Yeah. Multiple times a night.
Well, yeah.
If you're on a few shows.
Yeah. It's just like, and you could kill on the next person that you see when you're just off or trying something. It's even the same joke. We're trying to slightly like less smiley. Those people leave going, this guy isn't very good. And you're like, oh, I wish you could talk to the people from the 9 o'clock show because they wanted to carry me out on their shoulders.
It's the weirdest feeling when you walk off and you're like, I bet those people all think I suck.
Yeah, and they're right. You did. Their only experience with you was out of a sucker.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do reviews at this festival, they should at least like, they should review based on how much money you raised in your... In the counting up, like,
that should be part of
the
review.
Instead of 3 stars, 4 stars, be like, it made it 3/4 of the way up the bins.
I would have given him $5.
Yeah.
The crowd gave him 20.
$5 review.
Yeah. So when she was doing it at the Sydney Opera House. So she was really speaking.
Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah. She was speaking to Australia. This is her chance to tell Australia. This is a building almost the most representative of the country of Australia, the country that she felt betrayed her. I didn't really protect her growing up. So when she's getting that upset there, it's real. She's screaming at Australia. Fuck you guys. But again, if we're critiquing it as like an amazing special, those first 20 minutes have to be undeniable and not jokes I've heard before.
I see what you're saying, to create the twist. Yeah. Like, whoa, wait, come back.
Yeah. If you're rating it as some Australian comic I've never heard of, then hey, fucking great.
Yeah.
You know, you really reached for the stars on that. Congratulations. But if you're saying this is the best special I've seen, then it's like, well, they're not going to judge based on that, and then here are the issues. Also, by the way, I will continue to say this. And people are like, it wasn't funny. Far more laughs than Chris Rock's special. It was far better.
Wait, the one from like a year or two ago?
Tambourine, yeah.
It's called, I didn't see it.
Yeah. You're missing nothing.
It though, actually, wait, no, I saw parts of it. Yeah, and it was very, it was like Chris Rock doing a Chris Rock.
Doing a Chris Rock impression.
It was like, here's what Chris Rock should be.
Oh my God, it was so
bad.
Now,
I also say Chris, I mean, it's Chris Rock.
He was so bad. Unless his point was, I am a no longer relevant comic, so my tambourine player is, I'll just go get the money and draw eyes into Netflix to watch his young, good comics.
Wait, why tambourine? Where does the tambourine player come in?
His tambourine, it was called Tambourine. I think he does a bit about it where he's pretty much saying that the point of some people is to be the tambourine player. You're not the fucking lead singer, the lead guitarist, even the drummer.
Oh.
You're the tambourine guy. You're back in the corner. You're adding to it, but you're not the focus of attention. And so know your place. If you're the tambourine player, you can't be the lead singer. You have to know your place.
Oasis proved him wrong there.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. He's probably not a fan of
producer this, so. Randy Lee for us. Yeah, he's our tambourine player.
Yeah, so I doubt that was his message, but if his message was, I'm the tambourine player, I'm going to go in the background of comedy and now let these other people shine.
If he quit comedy halfway through his special,
people be like, whoa, amazing. Chris Rock quit comedy? But if you saw that special, you'd be like, yeah, you're right, man. It was like Mike Schmidt. Remember Mike Schmidt?
Yeah, he retired in like April or May because he was like having a terrible season.
He was
season.
Hitting like 204.
Yeah.
And he was like, what am I doing?
I'm a Phillies fan.
I'm a Hall of Famer. Am I hitting 204?
I'm not going to wait till the end of the year.
I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Really?
He just called a press conference one day.
I love that.
It's like, exactly. I got him from school and it was like on the news. It was a big news.
But now the Phillies didn't miss his bat that year.
No.
It already wasn't there.
He was. Yeah, they weren't going to make him quit.
Right.
He was Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, there's Cal Ripken, those guys. They play as long as they want to, especially on a bad team. But like, he's like, I'm not doing this like this. If Chris Rock did that, that would be noted on that level of like, wow, he just hung it up in the middle of a special.
That would be amazing.
It would have been amazing.
Mike Schmidt was like, I can't make lesbian jokes anymore. It's the self-deprecation.
Mike Schmidt just quit in like April. He's like, or May or somewhere like
that. Early
just,
in the season, I remember.
In the middle, he's like, no, I'm done. Yeah. I'm not good.
Yeah, I'm washed up.
I'm a Hall of Fame. I'm one of the best 50 players of all time, and I'm playing like this isn't just a slump. I'm bad now. I'm 41. I'm done. It was so cool.
Such a power move.
Yeah, like podcast 200 for us when we're just like going through the motions.
104 maybe. Let's see what happens next week.
I'm just going to walk up in
halfway
the middle.
Through the pod.
So when I say an America style hour is the first year I did storytelling show. Second year I just did, which is just stand up, just a collection of bits the way we do here when you're on stage.
And the crowd's fine with that? They're not like, hey, wait, what's
crowd
the point?
Crowd is wanting it.
Yeah.
There is a void because these things have won these awards and all these comics try for those awards now is they're not. And that's okay if you're that style of comic. What Hannah does is fucking pervert for what she tries to do. I had somebody tell me once, Tom Shadyac, you know that director? Mm-hmm. Did like a lot of Jim Carrey movies and some Eddie Murphy movies. Me, Myself, and Irene, shit like that.
Yeah.
He directed. And he was saying that he's good at directing those kind of movies because he likes that kind of comedy. But if like some dark, if Bill Burr tried to direct it or some dark Scorsese tried to direct it, let's say, it wouldn't come off that good because it's not what he cares about.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do a good job of Me, Myself, and Irene the same way Tom Shadyac wouldn't do a good job on The Departed because he's like, I can't be this dark.
Yeah, with stand-up, you have to be whatever you are.
Yeah. So the problem is because of these awards and they're saying this is the best kind, you have all the, which is fine for that type of comic. If they had it like the Emmys where it's like best actor in a comedy TV show.
Yeah.
Best, miniseries, best whatever. Then you're just like, now you have enough categories. But they don't. They have one. So all these comics who normally wouldn't be that feel forced to try to do that thing. And it's awful because that's not who they are. That's not the kind of comic they are.
They just have one award at the end of the whole show.
Best show. And best by show. The way, best show and also best newcomer. Show. And they go Spirit of the Fringe, which is just like something does that's really nice. It's really like this.
Independent
sportsmanship
award.
It's like a
pretty much.
I used to win that all the time in basketball.
Which one? Oh, it was great. Sportsmanship award. I won those in volleyball.
Oh yeah.
Most high fives.
Yeah.
Most improved.
I got most improved 2 years in a row.
Which is really.
I'm like, how much am I?
In the off season, you worked on your game.
You're like,
how bad did I
start?
Added a 3-point shot.
It must have started by a real detriment.
Yeah. Really bad. 2 years in a row.
It was on a soccer team in China.
I scored on myself a bunch, and then my own. And then this
threw it the first year.
This year, I took it up to scoring 4 points a game on our team, and then now 15 points a game on our team. Yeah, so they do that kind of comedy.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Most woke, yeah, but they only have one, so these people try to be that, and it's just shitty. It forces them into a shitty.
I might
into
try
what
to
they're
do
not.
This.
You should.
Yeah, you should go.
It's really good for you. So these audiences, some of them want that dark shit, and some of them just want funny comedy. So the ones who just want funny comedy, there's this vacuum that me, as a more developed than they are, stand up.
Yeah.
Just in terms of time, amount of sets, like it's just practice makes perfect. If you believe in that, then I'm a more developed comic than them.
And then. Are people going out and people go out and like bark for their own show, right?
Yeah.
They're like staying
Liz
on the
Mealy did that. You can also hire people to do it for you.
Yeah.
With the free fringe, you can actually make some money. So it might be worth it to pay some people. And really, it's for 2 hours before your show. If my show's at 6 p.m., starting at 4, I want to be handing out flyers. And at 9:30 p.m., you don't hand it out for the next day. People aren't watching them.
Yeah.
So you just go out there for a while. If it's raining, it sucks.
Where do you find the people?
This
to
is
pay?
All stuff that people in New York
There's
do.
Groups that do it, like flyer groups.
Flyer groups. That's good business.
And so it's like, okay, this guy shows at 6. So from 4 to 6, I'll be outside his place.
They have these in like Times Square.
Yeah absolutely.
What, I mean, I just think like the demand
the New York comic
so many...
Emilio.
But but imagine if there was a 3 p.m. show. So from 1 to 3, I'm here. And then after 3, when this guy's show starts, now from 3:15 to 5:15, I'm outside barking for this guy's show. And then then his show starts at 5:30. So at 5:30 to 7:30, I'm outside barking for this, and I'm making $12-15 an hour for each of these people. You can make it.
Cap, we should just go do that.
I remember now when I first moved to New York, a temp agency contacted me about a job like that. I should have done it. I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. I was like, I wasn't desperate enough yet.
You're gonna become one of those liars in Times Square.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, tonight it's stand up New York. It's whoever your favorite comedians.
Yeah. Who do you like? They're there.
Yeah, they're on.
They will be there. Seinfeld, he's there.
They did that with our live podcast. We had the random people coming from Times Square up to stand up New York.
Yeah. It's always good for a podcast. I have no idea what they're doing.
Amy Schumer's on tonight.
It's crazy how disappointed people are when they come to the show and their hero's not there. And you're like, oh, by the way, just so you know, Tina Fey never did stand up. So it was a lie that shouldn't even have been believed.
Yeah.
Chappelle, I could see why you'd want to believe that. But if you're looking for fucking Bob Newhart to come, he's dead.
So you're going back? You can keep doing it?
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I get so much out of it. Also do shitloads of drugs, and the city's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I also get to see a lot of cool shows. I grow based on, like, exposing myself. So then that was I did 2 years ago. And this year, I was like, no, I'm trying an Edinburgh-style hour. I'm doing a theme hour this year. I'm gonna because they look down on us. I don't like people looking down on us. That's people's biggest biggest problem with.
Oh, they look down on Americans.
Yeah, I don't. That's people's biggest problem with Hannah Gadsby. That's people's biggest problem with that new Drew Michaels. All this post comedy stuff. Mm. It's like the mainstream, the normal, most widely accepted comedy doesn't have a problem with them doing something different. They have a problem with them saying this is the new shit. You guys are done.
Yeah,
we're better than you.
You and guys are like, hair metal.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, fuck off. You've never even killed.
Yes.
So fuck off with this we're better than you attitude. So we don't like it, especially when we are better in terms of laughs. So it's like, because they always do these stories like expanding what stand-up comedy can be. I'm like, expanding means using what it is and then going more than that. What they're doing is less than that and different.
Yeah.
Expanding means taking a fucking funny all the way through and then adding this.
But going back to the alt comedy thing, like the guys who started it were already good at club. They were like regular comedy.
Some of them were. Right? Some of them were not. Some of them were never accepted in clubs.
Hmm. But they were funny or they were not funny. You know what I mean?
But they're at least hilarious to their audience.
Yeah.
Okay. To this specific style audience. I mean, like, you get good white comics go to a black room and eat a dick. And then vice versa, like Scroncho might go to a black room, a white room, and they like don't get his references, you know?
Turner goes to a kid's room.
Yes. I bomb in kids' shows.
There's that too. So it's like, yeah. At least kill in front of your audience, and kill means laughter the whole way through.
You just explained to my son that you were doing post-comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the best. Yeah. It's the best move.
You don't understand this best. Kid.
I've been doing post comedy for years.
You just say it's post comedy, then you act like you're better than them, and it's fucking great.
I also quit this comedy like 17 times, and no one cared at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should have done that. Yeah, you retired.
Absolutely.
I just didn't do it in the middle of my act. I did it when I got home.
Yeah,
that was your big mistake.
After bombing,
you wanted to go viral.
So what I said is, they're like, yeah, okay, Americans get more laughs. And here's the deal, you guys. Americans started 30-something years stand-up comedy before the UK did. We're just way ahead of you for that. Also, you guys, they had the handicap of being half theater, half not. So they could never just go, this is its own art form. It can grow on its own. You know? It's like if you had to make weed and potatoes and corn. Your weed grows are not going to be that great.
Yes.
Until you're like, let's just devote this to weed and really be horticulturalist.
That's why we're not good at soccer.
Exactly. Yeah. We split up our loves. But when I say only sport, when everybody plays it, America would have been great in soccer.
Yeah.
But how many of our kids go into soccer? Not that many.
My kids play post-soccer.
Post-soccer.
That's what my team does.
Yeah, so they go, well, Americans can get laughs the whole way, but we can do that they can't. Is we can string together a theme. And when you do a theme, you give up laughter in order to have a cohesive piece. And that's what these Americans are shitty about. So I don't like that.
Stupid Americans.
Yeah, so I don't like that. So I was like, I think you're wrong. So I devoted a year of my life to developing a theme hour.
Just spite.
Just spite
them. Absolutely.
spite hour.
Spite can really drive you. Yeah. It really can drive me better.
Motivators in life.
And so I invited any comic, open invitation to any comic. I will save you seats. Whatever the line is, I will grab you before the show started every single time. It's like, any comics here? Any comics? Come with me. Put them in the middle of the room. And I wanted them leaving.
You know, you're like Michael Jordan at his Hall of Fame speech where he brought in that guy who beat him out in high school.
Oh, yeah.
So he could shit on him.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't good enough. And the guy's still like, you weren't, man. You were missing easy shots. You're better now, but you were.
So you invited the comedians to
every comic, come watch us. And they left with this attitude of like, oh, fuck.
Oh,
I'm like,
man.
Yeah, you're one thing you thought you were better than us, thematic. We just don't do it. But here is a start to funny thematic hour where you're dying laughing the whole time. That's what's acceptable. You can do this more stuff, but you got to have the base.
Yeah.
And when they don't have the base, it's like, no, you don't get to look down at us until you master it first.
You end your set by just pressing play on a recorder. It's like, and I'm proud to be an American.
I would do it when I tell them in the bucket speech. I was like, you know, I last time I tried to do an America-style hour with a little bit of a twinge of Edinburgh, which is like a through line that you guys might not see. Anti-children, pro-adult. But this time was a fringe style hour, but in the American style, which means funny. Everyone would laugh, and I'm like, "Yeah, you guys, what the fuck? Why am I hearing about your another miscarriage?"
And are you still doing that hour? Or are you done?
No, I'm still doing it. I'm going to tour in America, and then record it as a special.
Oh, fringe style special.
Yeah,
but it was.
But you won't notice the way you don't notice Brian Regan is clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Until later, you'll be like, did he curse?
So there's nobody at Zany's who's like, where's the jokes?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every one of these bits that's tied together into this through line into this theme of Judy. It's all about Judaism and religion.
He needs to learn.
I need to learn. Oh, well, you
we tried to talk about it last week, and he was trying to teach me.
I tell you about Rosh Hashanah.
Our audience didn't think you did a great job.
Well, you know, the audience is always wrong, we've learned.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. It's a big 10 days of repentance we're in the middle of right now.
Yes, I'm apologizing to everybody.
Sarah, you made sure. Oh, we love doing that. We just got all these little kids. You'd be like, do you forgive me everything I've ever done to you? I forgive you everything you've ever done to me. Do you forgive me everything I've ever done
oh,
to you?
Oh, really?
And you're like, yes, do you forgive me everything? Yes. Captain, do you forgive me for everything I've ever done to you? Okay, I forgive you everything I've done to you.
Is that the I'll be your best friend for Jewish kids?
Without saying what it is, because no one's really going
to. Because you're about to get judged for your sins.
Yeah.
So you have to say, like, I forgive you for everything you've ever done to me.
Yeah.
Do you forgive me for... But they don't really forgive because there's grudges that hold on after. But you can't say no. You have to fucking make up for what you did.
Yeah.
So any other kid can absolve you of your sins?
No. A kid you've wronged.
Oh, I see.
I forgive you for being late today.
You do it with like your brother or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's better because you can say to God, I'm asking for forgiveness, but you're supposed to say it to the actual person you've wronged. You're supposed to...
Yeah, because you've wronged God also. You ate not
that
kosher.
That actually makes more sense.
Yeah, but yeah, you got to do that. You got to get forgiveness from the person who's you've wronged.
Yeah, I don't. Like I kind of skip that. I kind of skip both steps, but
yeah, it's like when Louis asked for forgiveness from certain women, and they said yes, okay, I accept your apology. They wouldn't come out 10, 11, 12 years later and do a report in the New York Times saying what he did wrong because they already accepted his apology over a decade earlier. Oh no, wait, actually, it's different.
It's a good time to remind you the Woke AF show.
Woke AF is available.
New York Times.
He should have gone down to the water and thrown bread in the water. That's what he was missing.
Tashlich.
Tashlich is the...
I have bits about that in my hour.
Should we get to the news?
All right.
You want to stick around?
Yeah, sure.
We got news stories. There's a lot happening this week.
Yeah. I'm fasting right now, actually, I realize. So. It's Yom Kippur.
It's not Yom Kippur. Oh.
When this is airing.
When this airs.
Wait, before the news, what do you have coming up?
Yeah.
When is this coming out?
This comes out in like...
Yom Kippur.
Well, I'll just start.
A few days.
I'll just start it. I'm in Austin right now at Cap City Comedy Club.
Oh, this comes out after this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows when Yom Kippur is. That's why I said that.
Oh, I see.
So I'll be there the 19th through the 21st, 22nd.
September.
Yeah. And to Phoenix. And I got a European tour in November and December.
You're going to Phoenix, you said?
Phoenix in October for the All Things Comedy Festival. And yeah.
All right, let's get to the news. Play the music. All right, we're back.
Speaking of the news.
First story of the week today comes to us from Channel 3 News St. Louis. That's where we get all the good news.
That's, one of the top news stations in the country.
Taco Bell voted.
So you know what the Channel 3 is? They have the arch, and then it's sponsored McDonald's, so they have the double arches, and then they have the third arch, which is Channel 3 News St. Louis.
For real?
Nope.
That would be genius.
Let's go with it.
They should do that. Taco Bell voted best Mexican restaurant in the country.
That is.
What? I mean, if it's total votes, I could see them not knowing any other place.
Yeah. Well,
if it's New York City, I would agree.
Actually, I had the worst Mexican food in this city of all time. I did great research. I had terrible Mexican food for lunch today. So
there is no good Mexican food in New York City. I know this is a very specific.
It's okay. It's just not the local. Cali style.
Yeah. It's usually okay, though. The one today I had was bad. Today I definitely would have gone Taco Bell, Mexican pizza, bean burrito.
It's weird because you're like, no, there's no Mexicans. They don't know how to do it. But it's like, there's some Mexicans.
There are.
There's tons of Mexicans. They're working in every pizza place.
Yeah, there's one of the easiest like cuisines to prepare. So like none of those went and started a good place.
Anytime I meet a Mexican in like the comedy community, I always ask them and they always don't know.
Oh, wow.
And they always haven't thought about it yet.
Like, oh.
I'm like, hey, there's no good Mexican food. So they're like, oh, I guess you're right. Yeah, there isn't. I'm like, maybe they just cook at home.
There's no good diners here either.
Yeah. Well, the people here don't, because of what they complain about. Like, people would like pizza. Like, we go to LA, we're like, oh, the pizza
sucks.
There's
no good pizza.
There's no good pizza, But there's nobody complaining that much about the Mexican food. So, where did Taco Bell, what are the other contenders? Or how does it, like, anybody else?
They pulled. So
Chipotle.
In my head,
Chipotle came in second.
Yeah. Del Taco?
They pulled 77,000 people.
Wow.
Which is a lot. I figured they asked, like, a couple hundred.
I wonder if they all voted them as number one, or if they're just like, name your top 20, and so then they appear on the most ballots.
That's they said there was 3,000 brands to pick from. That seems a little excessive.
Well, 3,000 Mexican, like Chi-Chi's going back deep, or...
I mean, that's why the voting system doesn't work in America, and that's why we have Trump, because you're like, I'm trusting anyone to vote for... what for all of us. And it's like, oh, that means legitimately most people thought Taco Bell, not fucking, you know, Dos Locos is better than fucking, you know, El Cactus Burrito. Like, you're crazy. Dos Locos is way worse.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone who knows Mexican food knows Taco Bell is not it. But these people are in the voting pool.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's also too many. It's like Trump won because there were so many candidates in the Republican primary. Like, there's 3,000 restaurants. Taco Bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Taco Bell's Trump. People have heard of him.
Uh-huh,
it's a name recognition.
Give him a head-to-head.
Yeah.
This is why you can't vote in China.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the exact like logic that the Chinese government uses too. So like, trust me, you don't want
you
voting.
Want some random who doesn't know.
Let us figure this out for you.
But Panda West was going to be named the best Chinese restaurant there, but they no.
So the best burger was restaurant Five Guys.
At least that beat up McDonald's. That's good.
Here's the most egregious. Best coffee shop? Krispy Kreme.
That's not a coffee shop. I've never heard of that as a coffee. Wow. Is that something you do in the middle of the country?
And the best chicken restaurant, Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
There's not a lot of chicken restaurants.
But that also shows that, like, this idea that, like, oh, this is problematic, that's problematic. If everyone's voting for Chick-fil-A, I don't think America cares about most.
It's a thing. It's like all these blogs and all these, like, Twitter outrage. It only affects a small percentage of people, but it's the ones we hear about.
Right,
but, like,
bubbles.
Girls, the show Girls was so written about. And then you see their ratings, and they were, like, super low. No one was watching it. Because, like, it was so talked about. They're like, is it better? Is it bigger than Seinfeld? You're like, no, basically no one's watching.
It's because the people writing the articles are watching.
All those
people
are watching.
Well, it's like the Cuomo-Cynthia Nixon primary race was written about like crazy. It wasn't even a close race.
And then it, like, easily defeats Cynthia Nixon. Yeah, nobody, like, oh, what? I thought it was, like, neck and neck. Like, no, not even.
And
it's
governor
about.
Of New York. Does America care about
regional.
The governor of New York?
Primary. Yeah.
It was on the front page of CNN.
Yeah, it's amazing when you saw it easily defeats. I'm like, I thought it was going to go under the wire.
Yeah, everyone I know is wearing Cynthia Nixon. Everyone I'm reading all these articles about her.
That's why. And we were talking about this off
the air. Vox doesn't matter.
We were talking about this before you got here, Ari. But that's why, like, the most upsetting thing to me that happened all of last year or this year, whenever it happened, was that Kobe won an Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
Because he played for the Lakers and everyone voting is their Lakers fans.
Oh, right. They're LA people.
But he won an Oscar during the Me Too Oscar.
It's crazy how he's skirted on that. I can't believe he skirted on that. Yeah. And he's going to be on the Hall of Fame ballot in 2020. And the fact that he had his whole retirement year. And I was like, and I hate the Lakers, so I was like, you guys are just letting him skate on this rape?
Yeah.
You're just letting him skate on it.
Well, and minimum if it wasn't rape, if his defense was that the girl had had sex with three other guys in the past day, so it's her fault.
Yeah,
so
slut shame.
Which, by the way, exactly, you're not allowed to say that anymore. Yeah. But that side is so like, we can't shit on black people. So it's just white guys making rape jokes, but black rappers are espousing the benefits of rape. But like, they're black. I don't know how to say that to them. That Lindy West article about rape jokes was titled "To All White Male Comedians."
I heard someone say that last
cisgender
night.
Cisgender male
stage.
White comedians.
But it was like, oh, wait. So when a black male comedian makes a rape joke, it's okay. When a woman makes a shitty rape joke, like that puts make people feel weird in the audience, that's okay. But for real, definitely, I can see you saying why women would be okay. For a black person to make a rape joke is better than a white person to make a rape joke?
This is why you guys...
It's all about the quality of the joke.
This is why Jewish people need to give up, like, not be white again.
Yeah, we're not white.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
want to
be white.
My dad's a Holocaust survivor. I'm out. I'm allowed to do
whatever
I want.
You can say whatever you want.
I might be autistic. I've never been tested.
All right, what was that? We were trying to figure out last week. Was that, like, 10 years ago? 20 years ago?
What? The Holocaust?
No, when Jewish people were thought, like, people didn't... Like, Kaplan was saying when he was a kid, like, Jewish people weren't...
Well, I'm like, when
yeah,
did
we're
Jews
separate
white?
From white. We're separate from white.
Yeah, the country clubs didn't let us, used to let us in.
Yeah.
I still don't, some of them.
Yes.
You know, quotas, all that stuff.
Next story.
We don't need Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's amazing how the fucking... That they just let Kobe Bryant skate on that. It's like, what?
Because they're Lakers fans.
Yeah, and they go, she had three people's sperm. By the way.
They're all wearing Me Too pins.
Okay,
time's
where it's
up,
like, you're allowed to fuck three people and then not want to fuck a fourth.
Yeah.
But also, just so you know, that was just a story made up by Kobe Bryant's defense team. The actual evidence was two people's sperm. Her boyfriend's and Kobe's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And
it was just
Fox.
A thing that the defense thing said to the world. So everyone's like, she was fucking a bunch of people. You know how sluts are. And she wasn't, by the way.
Yeah, so very possibly she had sex with her boyfriend and then she got raped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's
a legitimate possibility.
I'm still more
and that's what she's claiming.
I'm just as offended, by the way, by this whole Kobe reinventing himself as a great teammate thing. That's also going on,
oh,
by
yeah,
the way.
Exactly. What I the saw, fuck is that? He's been terrible for all his teammates.
Yeah, he's talking about how he used to motivate them by like being an asshole. Like
yeah.
That was planned.
Oh, you're just an asshole. How about that?
Yeah.
Next story.
Next story.
From the shanghais.com.
A lot of Chinese stories, huh?
We try to stay on brand.
Yeah.
We know our audience.
Why have you never been there?
It's a mystery. I don't know. I've never.
It's not a mystery. I'm inviting you.
It's a long flight.
The minute he says yes, we can do a live podcast at the Kung Fu Comedy Club in Shanghai. Andy wants us to come do it.
Is he flying me out first class? How do we get there?
I don't fly first class.
You kidding?
All right. Well, let's book it.
All right. The Chinese internet has lit up at the start of the week over an explosive.
WeChat? WeChat's talking about it?
The Chinese internet.
They're like, hey, stop this fucking a man eating a live horse videos and this one kicking a baby in the skull till it's caved in. And look at this story that everyone's talking about.
All right, you ready, ready for this upbeat story?
Yeah.
An explosive. There's been an explosive, unverified accusation that one of America's most wanted fugitives was recently working as a teacher in China. The man named Daniel Ayers has been missing for the past 13 years, charged with sexually molesting a minor and murdering his wife.
Did you find a guy who did that?
I knew two guys who did that.
This is like
in Suzhou.
Who escaped to there?
Yeah, America's. They were most wanted.
They don't
extradite, I think.
Extradite.
No, that's the whole. So everyone goes to China because there's no extradition treaty.
And so they're like, but even if they find him, they're like, hey, this person's dead. They're still like, yeah, what do you want us to do?
No, so they worked with him. When the guys I knew, American FBI notified the Chinese FBI, and they're like, we know this person, we know exactly where he is. And the China was like, okay, thank you for telling us, but by law we still can't do anything. They tracked him, and then they said, the minute this guy leaves China, we will let you know. They found out he was flying to Hong Kong. He was a moron. He didn't realize Hong Kong was outside of China.
Really?
So he bought a ticket to Hong Kong to go see like some girlfriend.
I thought it was just sort of, but sort of not.
Well, it was sort of enough to where the U.S. could arrest him.
Extradition with Hong Kong?
Yeah.
And so so the Chinese FBI notified the American one and said, hey, he's flying in on this flight. The U.S. marshals were waiting for him at the airport. And he had been doing martial arts, so he like karate kicked like 12 of them and took them all down before they finally got him.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I bet he used that on his wife.
Probably did.
If 12 marshals couldn't take him. His wife had no shot.
He was Mr. Seattle, this guy.
Oh,
is there like a big muscle.
Wasn't really? He like a kitty fiddler or something?
Yeah.
Is there like an app that tells these guys all the extradition things? Because you got to be able to move quickly.
You're right. Do some research.
Yeah, they have their tickets.
He didn't even shave his mustache, the guy I knew.
Oh, he
didn't have to.
Yeah, if you're in no extradition zone, you flaunt it.
You're supposed to grow the mustache. That's a problem. He was like, grow a mustache. He goes, well, I already got that, so I'm good.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's because you want to look different.
Back to the chick speaking out, though. That's why, like, when you travel, is there any countries besides China you've gone to where they're like, hey, you can't say this. Like, don't talk about this. Like things that you might get in trouble with the government.
China, for sure. They were like, just don't fucking do it. I know you're going to want to say, well, let me just try. It's like, just don't. It's hacky.
Yeah.
And it's also just more dangerous. You're not just going to be the tough guy. Just don't do it.
You disappear.
Yeah.
It'd be.
Any countries I've traveled to like that.
I mean, in Thailand, you can't talk about the king.
You cannot. You
can't talk about the king. They love the king. He's dead now, too, but they just do not. They don't
like it.
They
have, like, the toughest monarchy, like, whatever you call it, libel laws.
You can't shit on Buddhism in Myanmar too hard. You cannot.
I definitely wouldn't do it
now. They have the Myanmar Buddhists. Do you remember them? I remember them just, like, kicking people's asses in the street.
Yeah, Nazi Buddha.
They're the most hard. Is that what they call them?
There's one guy who's Nazi Buddha. Yeah, you're supposed to not even. You're supposed to walk around an ant instead of maybe.
How did that come about? Do we have any idea?
Not everyone's a good. There's all these Christians who fucking judge people.
Richard Gere needs to get over there and tell him to chill out.
Yeah. This guy got in serious trouble for unplugging a speaker during like 24-hour chants, and he was like, it was right by his hostel, and he unplugged it. And then they're like, what are you doing? He goes, I didn't know it was religious. Because you knew it was religious. He did 6 months in jail.
Oh, wow.
And they let him out eventually. But that wasn't really speaking out as much as disrupting. Religion's different. Like, that's how Pussy Riot got in trouble in Russia. So speaking out against the Catholic Church.
Have we found out if they're good?
They're not good.
Musically?
I assume they're not good. No one's
shock
ever
value.
Like, yeah, their music is so good. How can they go away? It's just like, oh, how can this group we're just hearing about now go away?
Yeah.
They always had a great name.
Yeah.
It's like Sex Pistols are never good either.
They have one good. Only have one album, so what do you mean?
The guy couldn't play the guitar.
He couldn't, but they still managed to keep it together. That's what punk was.
Yeah, they had a good tambourine.
Yeah, I don't know where else I've been where you can't.
But it is the thing where people are like, but I'm just, come on, man. Like, I'm going to do what I'm not supposed to do. And it's like, disappear. You could be gone forever.
Like, North Korea would be the one where it's like, they really don't care. They returned that American student. Brain dead.
Oh,
like, fine, here's your guy back. Like, we've been trying to get him back for 5 years. Like, well, and he died like 3 weeks later.
Yeah, that a comedy option for you?
He took a poster
to go to North Korea.
Yeah, to go to North Korea, though.
I bet you there's comics who would do it. I would never do it.
I wouldn't.
No.
Because the problem is you don't know. I get in trouble for things that I'm like, my manager's like, why did you show me this before you posted it? I'm like, I didn't know it was an issue. You know? Right. If I'd be like, hey, nice green shirt. And then all of a sudden there's outrage like of the colorblind people saying, how can you put us in this box?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought. I mean, I guess I would have said it differently. I wouldn't even thought I considered. But if it was like, you know, fuck this N-word. Then I'm like, I know that's
I better tell my representation what's
happening. How do I talk about the N-word? I know it might be a fucking, you know, tightrope.
I do feel like with the Norm interview, to wrap it all up, I don't think he knew what he didn't. He seemed like he didn't expect Norm MacDonald.
No, I don't think
because
so.
It was a print interview and he thought he was talking.
Kaplan and I were both
saying. He also thought he'd be judged on everything he said instead of just each sentence on its own.
Today's day and age, that's a.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
But wouldn't it be amazing just because of the North Korea thing if you became big in North Korea with Kim Jong? I mean, he likes the Bulls. He likes
you never know.
Like, you never know. Like, what if you just heard? Like, he loves your comedy.
He got into Netflix.
He saw your Netflix special.
And he's like, I need Ari Shaffir here now. an audience of one.
That'd be a cool goal, I think.
There's like Saudi prince shows where you're like, you can do anything you want. Just don't look that guy in the eye.
Yeah.
those ones in the Seychelles. Have you heard about
those?
You're not even supposed to talk about those. I'll probably get killed now.
Maybe.
Well, you haven't done them, have you?
Yeah, you're not
no,
there.
I haven't done them.
Or you just can't talk about it.
I've heard about
it. They just kill you when you go there. But yeah, those things where it's like, don't look. Do you touch the fucking son of the king? You're like, I don't.
That should be your next special. You know how everyone's doing it's like a whole you can't just do a regular special in front of an audience. You have to do it just for Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. You've been a great audience. Where are you from?
I'm out of town here.
And you wear his glasses, but you act like they're just real. You're like, no, this is my actual.
But he likes fringe style, so make sure
he does, right. There was no art.
He does not want an American hour.
No, he doesn't want an American hour. So.
All right, that's the podcast. Ari, thank you for doing
it. Always for being here. Second time. Yeah.
Yeah. Cap, what should we do?
Let's get lost.
Get lost. When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm going to be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm going to be the man who gets drunk next to you. If I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. When I'm working, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. Money comes in for the work I do. I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, oh, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I broke, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's growing over you. But
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.